was just thinking that last song would have sounded great with a ukulele. It just sounded like an island song from Hawaii, from our time in Hawaii. Yeah, ukulele, that'd be great. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're finishing up Ephesians chapter 6. So please turn to chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. So it's hard to believe we've been in this book for, 3 months? It just seems like we started yesterday. But this book paints a vivid illustration of what of the fellowships that Christians have, the fellowship that Gentiles and Jews have as one new humanity in Christ. And this book is all about the reconciliation of the entire universe to Him that's found in Him. That was half the book was talking about the doctrine of this new humanity in Christ, composed of Jews and believing Gentiles. And this book, again, was written 30 years after Christ ascended, around AD 60 or so, and Paul was in chains in Rome. The other half of the book reconciled this doctrine of salvation to various forms of life applications. That was from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 6. And so finally, we studied how living this Christian life, this unified Christian life, this new humanity in Jesus, living out the gospel would attract the attention of the spiritual world. We talked about spiritual wickedness in high places and spiritual warfare, and that is a reality of the life of a believer. If you are a Christian, you are going to experience spiritual warfare. Now, if that's new to you, if spiritual warfare is new to you, maybe you're a new Christian. If you've never experienced spiritual warfare before, maybe you're not a Christian. If the devil's leaving you alone, then you're not a threat to him. Your faith is not a threat to him. And so, conversely, if we are living for Christ, if we're Christians, if we're genuine Christians and we're living a life of faith, then you can expect some spiritual warfare. And we talked about that last week. So today what we're going to do is we're talking about just an encouragement. Paul is sending one of their own, a man by the name of Tychicus, back to the churches in Ephesus to encourage them because they had heard that Paul was in chains. And so Paul was sending encouragement to them through one of their own. And so we're going to talk about that today. So please stand for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Verse 23, peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Short and sweet, right? In my life as a Christian, I have been fortunate to have been discipled by wonderful people of God. Men and women were used of the Lord to train me up in the Word of God and to give me other guidances necessary. In several cases, the love I enjoyed from these folks brought great encouragement and comfort to me. And it's important that we take note of the people that God has placed over us, whether it's our minister, our elder, our deacon, and so on. And why is that important? Because in Christ, and this is the main idea behind the sermon today, is in Christ, love commends those who labor amongst us. His love comforts us in our distress, and it confirms the blessings of immortality to us. So let me say that again. In Christ, love commends those who labor amongst us, comforts us in our distress, and it confirms the blessings of immortality to us. Therefore, all of us who are in Christ should take comfort in his love for us. Amen? Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about three ways that this works out in our lives, how God's love is commended to us. Because God commends his love for us through the ministers he calls, we should take comfort in his love. The people that God has commended to you, whether it's me or your elders or your deacons, your Sunday school teacher, your precepts teacher, all these folks are here to comfort you and to confirm God's blessings to you. We've all had pastors, elders, and deacons in our lives who taught the gospel to us. All these folks were commended by God. I don't remember the pastor's name. This was all the way back in 1893. There's a little card in the conference room, and it's a gilded card. It's a little card, and it was handwritten in gold, and it was just this in the prose of this pastor speaking to the congregation was so beautiful and encouraging. That person who had been commended to that church comforted that church. We've buried many commendable people in the past several months. And it's Father's Day, so I'm grateful for my dad. The Lord commended him to me and brought me up. He was somebody who made big problems small, which is a really good characteristic for any dad out there. But who I want to talk about for just for a couple of minutes is my father-in-law, Ray. He served as an elder in this church, served as a deacon in this church. One of the things that he did, and I've heard a lot of deacons did this in the past, and I think maybe still today, but he would take, when I heard, he took his children on visits with him to see people when he was a deacon. That's how seriously he took it. But he and Mom both, Robin, served as elders, and so they really moved the needle when it came to their ministry. And so they were highly commendable because of their anointing, what they did in comforting the people, and what they did to confirm God's promises. In verse 21 of our passage, Paul commends Tychicus, who was close to Paul in his imprisonment in Rome and took care of him. And this man delivered the letter to the Ephesians along with news of Paul's imprisonment. So who was this person? Who was Tychicus? Well, Tychicus and Trophimus were Ephesian Christians who accompanied Paul into Jerusalem on his third missionary journey. And what Paul was doing, Paul was, one of the things that James had asked Paul to do was to remember the poor in Jerusalem on his missionary journey. So Paul was bringing resources, money or things like that, to the poor in Jerusalem, and he was bringing his entourage, included people that he had brought from churches on his journeys. And so two of them were Ephesian Christians, Tychicus and Trophimus. Trophimus was sort of infamous a little bit. This person had decided to go into the temple precincts, which is very not good for a Gentile to do, but ironically, that's how Paul ended up in prison. He was arrested by the Jewish authorities because they thought he had brought this person in. But that served God's purpose. God's purpose for Paul was always to take him to Rome so that he could defend the gospel in front of Caesar. So it all worked out great for him. Anyway, so both these men were Gentiles. Tychicus was a Gentile, and so later, when by the time Ephesians was penned, the book of Colossians was also written. And what Tychicus did was he took both letters and delivered them. And this is a pretty big deal. He didn't deliver them across town. Tychicus didn't take an envelope and put it in the mailbox, and just that's how it ended up in all the way over there in the Ephesian churches. He literally booked passage for himself and took that letter and circulated it all around those churches. So that's a lot extra. That's extra work on his part, but he did that for Paul. He ministered to Paul in that regard. And also, Tychicus is mentioned in 2 Timothy and Titus, where Paul was commending Tychicus to those pastors, Timothy and Titus, letting them know, taking the burden off of them, letting them know that this trusted associate of mine was delivering these letters. So this man was intimate with Paul in his chains. He was there in his chains. You know, a person in prison, they feel like they're abandoned by the world. So this person was not ashamed of Paul's chains. He was not ashamed to be associated with somebody who was in prison. You know, how many of us would trust in a minister who ended up in prison? I mean, think about that for a second. If a minister, all you knew was that a minister ended up in prison, you'd be asking, why are they in prison? Or, you know, what's going on with this person in prison? Can you really trust somebody who's a prisoner? But Tychicus, he stayed with Paul and he was useful to Paul. He was trustworthy enough to be sent on long distances for the purpose of teaching and comforting those faraway flocks. And this was all inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put it on Tychicus' heart every day to be a minister to Paul. Tychicus didn't know that he would forever be enshrined in the gospel, in the Bible, as someone who was useful to somebody in chains. He just did the right thing every day. So why is this important? Why is it important to talk about somebody who's in a salutation at the end of a book? Because God loves you so much that he commends people to you. He commends people amongst you so that you can be comforted, so his promises can be confirmed in your life. People who minister grace to you teach you about the Lord. These people minister comfort to you, and they confirm the promises God has made to you so that you can take comfort in the love of God. How long has it been in your life since you were commended to comfort somebody else? When's the last time you comforted somebody? When's the last time you confirmed God's promises to somebody next to you? I tell you, a common denominator in the people that we've buried in the past several months is that they put other people ahead of themselves. And they had this miraculous store of energy to devote to everybody around themselves. That's been a common thread. People who ministered, who touched people's lives, who went the extra mile with people, that was today we would call that something very it's a superior characteristic and quality for someone nowadays to put everybody ahead of themselves, and not just in their minds or in their prayer closet, which is great and important, but people would actually go out of their way to serve other people and not think about themselves. That is something out of the ordinary today, but back a generation ago, it was common. And so we have a lot to learn and we have a lot to live up to. The second thing is, God commends people to us so that he can comfort us in our distress. Because God comforts us in our distress, we should take comfort in his love. You're going to experience times of distress, but God is going to send people to you to comfort you. He's going to send people to comfort you in his love. So last week was particularly trying for my family and I, but I'm going to embarrass this family for just a second. One of the brighter points last week was when George and Miss Brenda came to the office, and we talked about the feasts of the Old Testament and how they pointed to Christ and how they were fulfilled in Christ. And I just want to—I didn't know they were going to come today, but you're in my sermon. But I'm just so thankful because the Holy Spirit just washed over me. Have you ever felt that? I mean, it's not something. I don't want to. It's kind of weird. Not everybody is going to feel the Lord in the same way, and you shouldn't walk by your feelings. You should walk by faith. But sometimes when you're really on the ropes, the Lord will just touch you in some way. He'll send somebody to you. He'll commend somebody to you through which he will minister comfort to you. God is going to do that. He's going to use people. That's how he does it. It's called, you know, when God himself touches you in some way, that's like primary means of grace. But when he sends somebody else to you, that's a secondary means. And so when God sends people to your life, when you're really experiencing hard times, God sends people to you. They commend people to you to comfort you. So you should accept that with good grace. Amen? And more importantly, you should ask the Lord to create opportunities for you to be that person to somebody else. And he'll do it. Did you know that? If you ask him to send you to somebody, he's going to do it. Now be careful, because it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you something. And you're going to lose yourself in it. But you're going to minister comfort to somebody, but that's not you doing it. It's God 100%. But by the way, I'll use that as a segue. I mean, we're planning on a series of teaching series next year where we're talking about the Feast of the Lord, and we're also planning on a Passover Seder for the Maundy Thursday service next year. So that's a long time from now, but please keep us prayed up as we plan that out. It's going to be a great thing. I tell you, we were blessed in the office, and I believe this church is really going to be blessed through that teaching. But more of that later. But you see, God commends people to comfort them in their distress. And so he always comes through at just the right time. Verse 22, his purpose for delivering this letter was because of his firsthand knowledge of Paul's situation. And he knew that he could comfort the hearts of the Ephesian believers. So God uses all sorts of people to minister comfort to his people. Now, the commonality here is a dual intimacy. The people that God commends you to are going to be intimate with two different people. They're going to be intimate with God, and they're going to be intimate with you. Now, I don't mean that in a discomforting way. They're just going to, the people that God uses in your life, they're going to know your situation. They're going to be aware of your situation somehow. They may not know details, but they're going to know that something's going on with you. And they're going to be intimate with God. They're going to be plugged in with the Lord. They're going to be in sync with the Lord so that God can use them to bless you. So how do we find that intimacy with God? It's important to have intimacy with God first so that you can be a good friend to somebody else. How do we do that? Well, daily prayer, daily digging into your Bible, daily encouraging one another in their walks with Christ, daily witnessing to some other people about Jesus. When that's a habit and a lifestyle for you, then it's going to be easy for God to use you to comfort other people. It's going to be easy for God to commend you for comforting somebody else. Then, as equipped with the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which isn't limited just to ministers, this isn't something that's just limited to people that's on this stage. The power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit was that it was poured out on all flesh. On the day of Pentecost, we talked about Pentecost Sunday a couple Sundays ago. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. The fulfillment of the prophecy to Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. I think I have that right. But the idea is, it's no longer going to be one person on a stage who's going to be ministering to everybody. You're all going to be freed and empowered by the Holy Spirit to minister to one another in their time of need. God's going to commend you through the Holy Spirit, through that intimacy with God. Is it only intimacy with God that makes a person commendable to comfort? No. Folks also need to be familiar with the people they comfort. That means you have to get out of your comfort zone and talk to people. In this day and age, people are isolated. People are isolated behind their screens. People are isolated on their social media page. People are isolated in their own thoughts that come from whatever is going on in their own lives. We have to break through that and just talk to one another. Talk to each other on the phone. Go see each other. I told you how Ray would go visit people as a deacon. You don't have to be a deacon to visit somebody. Church, are you hearing me? Don't ever think for a minute that it's somebody else's job to go visit somebody. That's the wrong answer. That's the wrong attitude. Don't ever think that it's the deacon's job to go visit, or it's the elder's job to do this, or it's Jeff's job to do that. You all are challenged to love and to serve one another and to go visit one another when they're in their needs. This doesn't mean you got to know someone's deepest secrets. It just means you have to be available to them and to God. What it means is people like Ray made it a point to call around and check on people. I like calling around every once in a while and checking up on folks I don't see on Sunday, or I don't see on the church's Facebook page or something like that. You know, and that keeps people connected. That keeps people feeling valued. Do you like feeling valued? Are y'all with me? Hello? Do you like to feel valued? Okay, make somebody else feel valued. If you like for someone to comfort you in your distress, you do that for somebody else. The connection between us and God and those that we minister, it's like flux to soldering electronics. Anybody ever solder electronics in the church today? I was working on this illustration and I was like, this is not going to work, but we're going to go for it anyways. So, when I was in the Navy, I was an electronics technician, and I used to work on boards. And I would take components on and off boards, fixing them or whatever. And what I would use a soldering iron, which is this really hot 645 degree soldering iron. And what I was trying to do was put a chip on a board or fix a line or something like that. And the solder point was like this metal. It comes in a wire. And you put your heat to it down onto that component, and it what it does is it melts that metal, and it actually makes a metallic bond. Well, the Navy has really strict standards for that. It had to be a nice connection. Well, to get that heat to work, to get that metal, to get that connection to be just right, I had to use something called flux. And flux would make heat transfer efficiently from one thing to another. And so that's how I look at this whole thing. How does that apply to what I'm talking about? When we're intimate with God and we're intimate with the people that we minister, we're like flux to God. We're like flux in his hands, because what he's trying to do is he's trying to connect us with the comfort that we need. He's trying to connect us with the promises that he's made us. And so what he does is he sends people like you and me to confirm that to people, to comfort people. And it's like his heat transfers through us. You kind of understand that a little bit? I probably blew that one, but that's okay. So the third thing I want to tell you is that because God confirms his eternal blessings to us, we should comfort in his love. Because he confirms eternal blessings to us. Not only comfort for the here and now when we're going through what we're going through, but we have promises that carry us all the way into glory. And so he sends people, he commends people to us to confirm those blessings. So while it's wonderful to experience the comfort of the Lord from those he has committed to us, it's of greatest comfort to know that we have an eternal future with God. Verses 23 and 24, Paul drives home the centrality of love. This is a driving theme in these last two verses. He speaks peace to the brethren and love with faith. We are connected to the love of God through faith that he himself gave us. The Lord gave you the faith to believe in him. He gave you the faith to know that because he first loved you, you're able to love him back. From God, so this faith comes from God and Lord Jesus Christ. It's through him that we experience this love, through which we have peace. Because of God's love for you, and because of his love for you, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to rise again from the dead, and that reality, that truth was made known to you. It was revealed to you, and you put your faith into it. And because of that, you now have peace with God. Before Jesus came to you, before you knew about him, you did not have peace with God. You were at enmity with God. If this morning, if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of God. But if you have received him by faith, you are eternally at peace with him. You have shalom with him. You have this wholeness with him that you could never have had beyond with yourself, by yourself. Finally, grace is spoken over the souls of those who have received Christ by faith, this unmerited favor that we have. There's this Hebrew word, I was reading it, chesed, which is the steadfast love of the Lord. And, you know, the Lord was speaking to me about his chesed, this C-H-E-S-E-D. It's this steadfast love of the Lord. His steadfast love for you is a feature of his greatness. It's a feature of his power. It's a feature of his vastness. How vast and powerful and majestic God is, that's his steadfast love for you. Think about that. His love for you, his steadfast love for you is carrying you through all the way to glory. No matter what you're going through, no matter how much on the ropes you might be, no matter how bad your situation might be, his chesed, his steadfast love for you is as great as his own power. And it's with you all the time, every day. And it's grace to you. It's mercy to you. Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. Receive that. Our eternal life, dear brother and sister, is confirmed by the grace we have in Christ. And because of him, this love that we have for him, because of this grace, is incorruptible. The love that he has for you, that you have for him, is incorruptible. It's imperishable. There's nothing that can touch it. Our life doesn't feel like that sometimes, because when we're struggling and our eyes are on our situation, like Peter's eyes were on the waves. He didn't realize he was walking on the waves with Jesus, but he took his eyes off Jesus, put them on the waves, and he began to sink down. That's what happens to us. When we're in his hands, we literally have our hands in Jesus' hands, but we take our eyes off him sometimes and we put them on the situation around us. And we begin to sink. But the Lord sends people to confirm. He sends people to commend comfort to us, commendable people that comfort us and confirm God's promises to us. It was his love for us that caused him to willingly endure the torture of the cross so that our sins would be atoned for. These sins separated us from the love of God and caused us to not be at peace with him. It was the reason we were born enemies of God. It is faith in his resurrection that brings about our justification. This is by God's own hand. God justified you. You right now, no matter what happened to you today, No matter how bad you messed up today, whether maybe you had an argument with your spouse, or maybe you had an argument with your child, or who knows what happened to you, God's love for you is forever. You have union with Christ. No matter how you feel, his love for you, his justification for you is eternal. And the Holy Spirit, it ministers this unmerited favor, this grace to you from now on. Until we are reunified, until we are made one with God at the end of the days, the Holy Spirit continues to minister peace and grace to you. So as we close, I challenge each of you to draw closer to God and to draw closer to each other. Okay? It's not somebody else's job to love people. Are you hearing me? It's not somebody else's job to call people. It's not somebody else's job to serve other people. It's not somebody else's job to be compassionate and to serve one another. It's your job. It's my job. So how do we do that? We get closer to God. We get in our Bibles. People need to hear what the Word of God says. Society today is so bizarre. I've heard awful things recently. I've seen awful things. I've seen awful things on people's Facebook message on their Facebook. I've seen awful things that just defy imagination. And And the reason why this country is in the state that it's in is because people no longer believe that the Word of God is infallible. People no longer believe that the Word of God is true. And you and I are standard bearers. Church, it's not the elder's job to be the standard bearer. It's not the deacon's job to be the standard bearer. It's your job. It's my job to get into our Bibles, believe in the truth of it, live it out, and then be useful to God. Having that intimacy with God in His Word is the first step. The second step, which we've already talked about, is to get out of your comfort zone and talk to people so that God can open up doors for, so that God can commend you and open up doors for you to comfort other people and to confirm His eternal promises to others. Amen? Now unto Him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.